Okay. Good morning, everybody. So I'm in the same boat, right? No. You know, one time I was asked to speak at a meeting, so I went and, you know, got my opportunity, got up and shared, you know, and kind of got done, was just, you know, having a little fellowship, and the preacher was, you know, encouraging the folks and about being there at the meeting and all this stuff, and I'm, you know, sitting there, you know, I did my thing, right? And so he was, you know, driving the point home, you know, so, you know, this is great, we're together. And so, Brother Steve, come on up and share with us. And he, I had to come up with a lesson from there to here. So I know the feeling. Of course, I didn't let on that I didn't have a clue. To have to come up with a lesson from your chair to the pulpit, I guess I didn't understand I was doing all the lessons. And so worked out. Yep. Let's see here. No, you know what I was going to do? Which, I was going to give you the lesson I did in Lima. I must have forgot it and left it there. So, here's the deal. I never do the same one twice anyway. Well, I never do the same lesson the same way, twice.
You do the same lesson, but different illustration every time, right?
Yeah, we make it happen. We work it out. Now, my assignment at Lima, in fact, all the messages were out of the book of Philippians. And my assignment down there was rejoice. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things or preach the same things to you, for you, or for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, and for you, it's safe. So, you know, all through our Christian walk, we're going to get these things restated, reiterated, because you know what? This is amazing why God chose to put it in this form, the written form. You think about it. Those guys would have heard those messages by Jesus, say, Sermon on the Mount or whatever, and they were preached and went right into the air. You know what I'm saying? They were gone. However, he did say to the apostles, he said that when the Spirit of Truth has come, the Comforter that he was going to send to them, that Comforter would be sent to them to guide them not only into all truth, but to bring to their remembrance all things which he had spoken to them. Now, we're talking about the apostles now. Okay. So, these things I've spoken to you, being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, now he's going to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said. That's Big John 14 and verse 26. And then he says also in John 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So, we have the inspired written record. Now, the Apostle Paul would also say of himself how that by revelation he received these things. And he said in verse 3, Ephesians 3 and 3, how by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I briefly written, this is medium that it's in, written form. And then when you read, he said in verse 4, when you read what I wrote, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. So when he says, for me to write the same things to you, is not tedious, and for you it is safe. So brethren, he said, rejoice. Look across the page. I can look across the page. Mine says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice then, he says, in the Lord, and I say again, rejoice. Rejoice. You know, I can't even think, really, I don't know. Sometimes I read things or read things in Scripture that I thought, I don't know that I've ever experienced that. I think I went through probably most of my life, and if somebody would have ever talked about me rejoicing, I would have thought, I'm not sure I ever did rejoice. What is that? It's a delight. I guess all of us, to some extent, experience maybe a rejoicing like a flash in the pan, you know what I mean? Or like going to see the 4th of July fireworks, you know, and those babies go up and boom, you know, and the sparklers go, you go, wow, man, look at that, that's cool. But I don't ever remember anybody ever talking 2 days later about the fireworks. It literally was a flash in the pan, you know. You go leave the fireworks display, go home, get back into life, and, you know, people don't generally talk about talking about the fireworks show that they delighted in. I was going to say wearing, because I seen young guys, you know, walking around high school, you know, and he always wore their letter jackets. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that wore a letter jacket after they graduated. You know what I mean? It's like it was a big deal at the time, but after you get out of high school, it's not a big deal anymore. In fact, it may be kind of corny. You know? Now, when he is saying rejoice, what I want to talk about, this ain't a flash in the pan. What this is to become is a habit of being. And we're going to unpackage it a little bit, and it's not about walking around with a silly smile on your face all the time. It's going to be deeper than that, and it'll be yours. Because it's not only going to be joy, rejoicing, it's going to be abounding in hope, peace, a confidence, a boldness. It's a transformation that we go through into the character of Christ. And then when you give up your life as you know it, deny self, take up cross, and follow him, that transformation he'll bring us through is a permanent change. If you're willing to go through the process, and you will be rejoicing. Don't we need some rejoicing right about now? You know, they sang it yesterday, just happened right before my message as I got up there, but I'll remind you, troublesome times are here. Filling men's hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear now is at stake. How many of us even 5 years ago would have thought that the United States of America was on the verge of destruction? How many of us, I don't know anymore whether we are or not, because we think it very well could be our life as we know it here in America. And don't think it can't happen. Our country has a history of war like every other place all over the world. What about the Revolutionary War? What about the Civil War? What about when all our guys were going overseas, you know, World War I, World War II? You know, maybe it didn't blow our cities down here or burn them down, but sometimes they're burning down right now. We're being destroyed from within. I guess it doesn't matter how you get destroyed, within or without. All the great societies have collapsed throughout history. We're naive to think it could never happen, especially, we've talked before, when you got the saber rattling with the Chinese and the Russians, and they're realizing they've got a very small window of opportunity. If they're ever going to destroy America, it's going to have to be done next couple years, or they may not get that chance. I'm getting political, I'm just telling you. It's a scary time. We don't know. And Jesus tells us that. So when Paul said rejoice, it, you know, shared before, Matt Hartford, you know, was here last year going through some stuff in Romans. Because we'll look at that in a minute. You know, the God of hope filling us with all joy and peace and believing, abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That sounds good. Written to the Romans, right? Matt says within 6 years, they were Roman candles. The Christians, that's history under Nero. Burned them alive, wrapped them up and set them on fire and lit up his garden parties with them as torches. Fed them to the animals. That's history. 6 years after that was... Did God know that was going to happen? Yep. Who inspired the scriptures? God. So, God knows that history's going to unwrap. And to them, to us. Said before, what some of the Ukrainians who saw right on the TV crying out, you know, Russian, you couldn't understand it, but the commentator said, they're saying, merciful God, help us through this. Became their reality. Still going on. Hadn't stopped. Rejoice. Can they rejoice? Who's this written to? Christians. There was no United States of America when that was written. Oh, by the way, is this not a prison epistle? The Philippian letter is a prison. What's that mean? Apostle Paul's writing that from prison. And what's he saying? Rejoice! Says here he's rejoicing. Let's read it. Verse 12, Philippians 1, 12. I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, I'm putting some emotion or whatever in that for you because he's excited. He's not complaining. He's not all bummed out in prison. And I'll guarantee you what, he didn't have an air-conditioned cell with a color TV set in a game room down the hallway. This is like a real first century prison. Sure, it wasn't very nice. He said, brother, I want you to know this turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains, it's a prison epistle, he is in chains, are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord now have become confident by my chain. They're much more bold now to speak the word without fear. A boldness. Because they're going to need it. Because they're under threat. But they're not afraid now. Why? They're drawing confidence from what he's experiencing. Funny how this can work, right? Some are indeed preaching Christ even from strife and envy, but some of goodwill. The former preach Christ from a selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. The latter, out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. Well, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Because he says, I know this is going to turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He ain't down. He ain't mad. He ain't sad. He's in prison. He's excited. He's the one that said, rejoice. He's in chains. Said he's rejoicing. I will rejoice. Even though some people were speaking against him and the gospel, hoping to cause him more grief in there. He said, I don't care. I used this example before. Some of you might remember Jack Kevorkian, a Michigan doctor. He was a doctor that really had compassion for terminally ill people. And, you know, that's still a thing today. People are divided on the idea of an assisted suicide. In some countries, it's legal. And so as a physician, Dr. Kevorkian wanted to take people who are at end of life with no possibility of quality of life anymore at all. They're in pain, constantly. That's all they can do is even try to just manage their pain. They're never going to be able to do it. They're never going to go bowling, skydiving, ever again. They're done. They lay in bed maybe all the time, and they're just in pain. Quality of life is gone. So people like Dr. Kevorkian thought it was a good and bright and compassionate thing to go in. If they chose, if they wanted this, yes, please help me. I want to end my life. I can't live like this. He'd get them hooked up, and there was a button. I think it was chemicals that would mix and go into the bloodstream, put an IV in or whatever, however he did it. He'd get it all set up for them, but they had to push the button. Man, that was controversial. Man, it hit the courts, right? And he helped, I don't remember, a few people end their lives by their choice, and he was a doctor. He was done under that control. It did hit the courts. I don't remember if it went all the way to the Supreme Court. He was convicted, and he went to prison for murder. And he was an old man. I think they let him out because now he was terminally ill, and he died. Anyway, but here's the deal. Why do I bring up Jack Kevorkian? Because the whole thing was controversial. This Roe versus Wade thing that just got flipped or whatever. Man, we got people all over the country with their heads exploding. Everybody's got an opinion about it. Great. Great. Guess what? Front page news, right? And that's what Paul's saying. This thing about Christ is flipping this world on its head, and I'm glad. Some it makes mad and sad, and others are rejoicing. But everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. He said, I'm rejoicing in that. Christ was a household name, just like Jack Kevorkian for a while was, you know, household name. People knew who he was. Some were for him. Some thought he's a bad man. Some thought he's a good man. Some thought Jesus was a bad man, a deceiver, demon-possessed. Others said, no, he's a good man. Paul said, I'm just glad they're talking about it. And I'm glad that the things that have happened to me in chains, prison, he said, have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. Woo, it's amazing how God can take lemons and turn them into lemonade. And that's what he does. He allows this darkness because the light is greater than the darkness. We've talked about that. Now, do you think this guy, Paul, takes his own advice? Well, right back there in that Philippians 4 passage in verse 4, when he says, rejoice in the Lord, that's a, you got to remember that, in the Lord. And I will say again, rejoice. He's driving that point home. That is to be our habit of being. Now, this is what we really need to focus on. I said, you know, before, let's just say I know my BC, you had a BC, you're before Christ. You were programmed by the world, and the way you understood this world was through, you know, the way you viewed it, saw yourself and the world. You were taught wrong, by the way, because the truth is in Jesus. Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If you weren't into the scriptures and you had no idea it was in the Bible, you weren't in the truth. You don't get in the truth by accident. Jesus referred to the ruler of this world, the god of this world is the devil, and who is he? The father of lies. In Ephesians 2, Paul said, we all once walked according to the course of this world. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, the devil, whom also we all once conducted ourselves in lust of the flesh, desires of the flesh, and of the mind. We were naturally children of wrath, just as others. That's where you were before. How much hope could you have when you were only doing what was right in your own eyes because there was no king in Israel, no king in your life, no sovereign, no nothing higher, no standard except what everybody else was doing? Well, if they're all walking according to the course of this world, and you were too, how much real joy could you have? Like I said, you know, the flash in the pan. Maybe you won the lottery, man. You won $100. Made you happy. you know, or whatever. I don't know. People are always trying to feel good, you know, always looking for absence of pain. That old crazy change guru, Anthony Robbins, you know, he'd do all those seminars, you know, how people pursue pleasure and avoid pain. That's just the way humans are hardwired. So he read every book on self-help because he wanted to help people. He understand how they were wired to pursue pleasure and avoid pain. And so he would try to help them find ways to overcome their dysfunctions. That's actually a biblical idea. But Anthony Robbins wasn't using scripture. You know, he'd go to Barnes & Noble and go into the self-help section and grab all the books on, you know, how to, you know, win friends and influence people or something, or how to get ahead and, you know, be successful. Or, but he would use some principles that are quite biblical. Not that he knew that. I mean, which came first, you know, Freud or Jesus? God wrote this stuff down a long time ago. But human behavior is predictable because all human behavior is belief-driven. Just watch people. Just pay attention to your own actions, your own self. Well, you know, I'm much different. In fact, people all over the world really ain't much different. Said that before. So, do you think Paul takes his own advice? What he's telling us? Do you think he, what'd he say? He said, I say rejoice. He already said he was rejoicing. Let your graciousness, your forbearance, your gentleness be known to all men. Now that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's talking about Christians that have the power for life change. He said, let that shine. Let people see that. And don't be anxious for nothing. Remember what Jesus said? Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. He said, don't you think God knows that you have needed it? He feeds birds, don't he? He said, you ever seen a skinny sparrow? Clothe the grass of the field, here today, gone tomorrow. Even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. Jesus said, your Father knows. You don't have to be anxious. Remember, I worked through some message here not too long ago there in the Proverbs 12 and 25. Anxiousness in the heart of the man does what? Causes depression. That question came up in the study with the Belarusians. They were asking, what about the depression, Brother Steve? Why? Because a lot of people depressed. Because they're anxious. Maybe for good reasons, right? But what did we see in Proverbs 12 and 25? But a good word makes the heart glad. A good word? You're anxious, so now you're depressed, but a good word will make you glad. Do you realize how fearfully and wonderfully we are made? By a creator that knows that? You get the right information coming into your brain housing group, it can change the way you look at this life, starting with how you see yourself and your world. That's how you got screwed up. Looking at yourself as a grasshopper because you went through various trials growing up. Maybe you were picked on, bullied. Maybe you looked great, but you thought you didn't look great. Thought you looked like a frog or something, you know what I mean? Or people say, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb. We don't want you playing with us, you know. And they're like, wow, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, I'm dumb. Where'd you get that idea, your dumb friends? The people that were jealous of you, maybe. We really do get hosed up, man. By the time we're of age and we learn how to conceal all that garbage, we try to act like we got it together and we're scared of our own shadows. We really are. We're messed up. It's God who lets you get so messed up because he's going to demonstrate his power. And go get this picture. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined that they would be conformed to the image, the character of his son, that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn of many. Brethren, Christianity is not about just knocking off a few of your rough edges, you know, smoothing out a few of your wrinkles. Oh, no, no. He kills the old man and raises up something entirely new, a new creation. The picture on the box that you are to see as you behold is in the mirror with an unveiled face, the glory of the Lord. You will be transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the power of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. That picture on the box is Jesus of Nazareth. And what did Jesus of Nazareth say? Notice I didn't say Jesus Christ. I said Jesus of Nazareth. Why? He's a human. He was a human, born of God, born of the Spirit, but born of woman. I mean, when he came here, Mary's his mother, right? And he was the nicest guy in the block. Easy. Jewish guy. Looked pretty normal. Read Isaiah 53 into 54. Had no beauty, no comeliness, no special, no charismatic, no charisma. Pretty plain, really. In fact, maybe even on the homely side. But oh man, could he teach? And the life he lived by example, boy, the people knew this guy the real deal. Still did not know who he was. But he said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. You've seen God. Woo, wrap your head around that. That's how far this has gone, that the life of Jesus is to be seen in your mortal body. Paul said, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, we could use a little bit of that right now. Actually, everybody could at all time. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have both learned, received, heard, seen, saw in me, do. And what? The God of peace will be with you. Do you think he takes his own advice? The answer is yes. That's why he's saying, those things which you received and heard and saw in me, because he's living it. He's doing it. He said, like Jesus, follow me. Remember what Paul said? Follow me, right? But he said, as what? I follow Christ. He wasn't saying, follow me, the man, Paul, except in the sense, well, in fact, if you turn back just a couple of pages, I'm just reading out of Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. What's the pattern for? For you to emulate. You know what a pattern is. Well, I know Linda knows what a pattern is. That's how she makes all them beautiful dresses. And they can make more and more and more after the pattern. God showed Moses a pattern. He wanted him to put, put in the